It's 8 o'clock.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Welcome to the new normal on liveparanormal.com. I'm Chippa Khan, your host, and this is the show where we don't try to weird you out. We make the paranormal practical. Metaphysics isn't just something to talk about at parties or annoy your relatives. It offers ways to enhance your everyday life. This week, my guest is going to be Lisa Tarves. Now, Lisa is the author of the book Just Thief, which you get on Amazon, and she is also a board-certified holistic health practitioner. I expect we'll get questions from the chat room and listeners, and she has a master's degree in metaphysical science, and she grew up with the natural ability to see and speak to angels and to heal by touching people. And I'm still waiting to get in touch with her. Let's see if I can. There's a thing on here that might work. Let's see if I can call her because she hasn't called in yet. And if you want to call in, the number is 619-639-4606. And we would be very happy to have you call in. And so as of yet, haven't gotten in touch. Well, let's see. Oh, there she is. Let's see if she's here. Hello, is this Lisa?
It is Lisa. Hi, how are you?
Oh, very good. I was getting a little bit nervous because I was hoping that the very clever studio program would let me call you, but it didn't, so we'll just, so you had to call in, so thank you for calling.
No, that's fine, I got your email, I had a client, and I got your email, and I was like, oh boy, and I'm like dialing as fast as I could.
Well, that's what it is, and I have just told people how wonderful you are, and I am putting, I suppose since this is audio, since the people who catch this in podcast will not know that Lisa Tarves that will not be able to read it in the chat room. So the way to find her website is www.lisatarves.com. And that's how you can find her if you would like to become one of her clients after you hear more about how wonderful she is here. And Lisa's just, she covers an entirely huge range, everything from angels and crystals, divination to healing. I'm very excited about your talking to angels. I guess that's kind of turning into a recent thing with me.
Yeah, it's turning into a big thing with me. Yes, it's kind of cool, you know?
It is, but when you look at what I'm trying to do with the new normal is to make everything practical, and I think for some of us, it's a, well, do you remember did you ever catch the TV show Medium?
Oh, I love that show, yeah.
What I loved about it most was that she was such a normal woman who just had to deal with the problems of when people think you're, when you come out being paranormal, people give you a very hard time. They, you know, wonder. And let's face it, sometimes we wonder about ourselves. Am I psychic or am I psychotic?
my husband asks me that every day.
But if you don't, I mean, you'd have to be pretty dumb not to acknowledge that you could be psychotic. But at the same time, you also want to be, when people close their mind to the possibility it could be being psychic, they're not being good scientists. Because there's plenty of evidence that this stuff is not. So somebody who is an open-minded intelligence is going to be looking at this and saying, oh, yes, this is, what am I doing in any given situation? So I was thinking as I was reading your book, which is available on Amazon. I did the Kindle option, and that's Just Believe. And I just kept being reminded of Medium and how it's not the most comfortable thing in the world to let other people know.
No, I don't. I mean, it's not something that, you know, this book was a long time coming for me. It wasn't something that I advertised at all for a very long time. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I have a gift, and why am I not helping people with it? Why am I not using it? It was like an embarrassing thing to me. It was like I was embarrassed, or I was afraid of what other people would think. And then I just got to the point where I was like, you know, I can do a lot of good, and I still believe there are lots of people out there that think it's completely crazy. And that there's no possible way that I'm trying to get into Skype, by the way, right now as we speak.
Yeah,
so we'll see if it works.
I find it very. Oh, we have a caller.
Oh wait, hold on a second. Yeah, I think I'm getting in. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, let me see what this person has to say. Hello.
Hi.
Who's this, please?
This is GIC. I'm also Jack. I'm a caller.
And what did you want to say or ask?
I just want to ask what this radio show is about.
Oh, this is the new normal is about making metaphysics practical, and we're talking to Lisa Tarves tonight, who is talking about her experiences having grown up psychic, and we may be covering healing, we may be covering talking to angels.
Yeah, I'm a paranormal investigator myself.
Oh, cool. Well, can I put you back on hold and we'll talk to
Lisa?
Sure,
go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
And always fun to have a caller, but we'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Here's Heather. Hello. Did you have a question? No, not. Okay. So let's get fascinating here. When did you decide that you were going to come out, as it were, let people know?
Well, I started, I guess, probably, I was probably in my 30s, I would guess my early 30s when I got to, you know, what happened was I had a lot of gifts as a young child. I was able to see angels back in those days, and now it's a very rare occurrence when I get to see a full angel picture, you know, like up here. It's usually more I see lights and I see energy, but I feel them and I hear them
all the time.
Okay, it looks like we're having a little bit of studio difficulty here.
We're echoing.
Okay, we'll see what happens if I click that button. Are you still there? Are you still there, Lisa? Can I hear you? I can't hear you. She's supposed to still be there, but not. Well, I hope she'll come back soon, and we'll see what happens. And Let's see what happens with that. Well, since Lisa has been disconnected, I'm going to... hello again. Lisa's just got disconnected, so... Oh, there you go. Or not. I do apologize to... Yes, I can hear you now. Apologize to the listeners because we're having a little studio problems. But we'll get past it. Okay, Lisa, hi again. Are you there? Oh, I hope we haven't got that thing where there's a delay that can get bit. Oh, that's so weird.
Can you hear me at all?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, there's that weird noise. Do you hear that?
Yeah, it's very liquid sounding. Crickets. Oh, and I've lost her again. Okie dokie. This is very strange. All right. Well, let us hope that she will be back any second now. Looking at her book. Her book's called Just Believe, and I'm very excited about. She also has studied the history of metaphysics, and we'll see if that.
we'll Are you that. There?
We're there! My goodness gracious!
Yay!
This is,
it's back. Yes, I'm
yay! Okay. I was just going to say one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was the history of metaphysics, because to me that is one of the more fascinating things. This has been a part of human abilities since there were people, and
yeah,
for the last 200 years or so we've been kind of pretending that it wasn't, but in intelligentsia, but the normal people have continued just going on. You know, dowsing for their wells and healing
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So what areas of metaphysics have you studied? Have you gone global, or how far back in time have you checked?
What I studied was metaphysical science, all aspects of metaphysical science. I first got a master's or a bachelor's degree in it, and then I got a master's degree in it. It's the science of metaphysics in general. So pretty much everything was covered from philosophy to psychology, to divination, you name it, you know, it was pretty much, I mean, even, you know, when it comes down to different religions, I took like electives, I took Buddhism as an elective, and just different, you know, different things that interested me, and a lot of, metaphysics is a huge umbrella of topics. It's not something where, you know, I could say, okay, I'm interested in this and only study that. If I was taking metaphysical science, I was going to have to tap into all areas of metaphysical science. And so I did, but then some of them were just areas that were of more interest, you know, for me personally, that just resonated more with me than others, based on probably some of my psychic abilities and some of my, just different parts of it. I really like the psychology behind spiritual counseling and things like that too. So I spent a lot of it was history, and a lot of it was just taking. There's something fascinating about a subject that you can never really a question that you can never truly answer. You know, and I think that's for me what was interesting about metaphysical science was that. It's metaphysics is a big old question. Everybody wants to know about the afterlife and about all these things, but it can't be proven very easily.
It doesn't take a huge step to have somebody die and then wonder what happened to them next.
Right.
You have to say, okay, what happens then?
Right.
But I have to ask, where'd you get your degree? Because I'd like to.
It's called. It's hard. It's not an easy thing. I went through the American Institute of Holistic Theology.
Wow.
They're in Alabama, but you can do online studies with them or home study with them. I live in the Philadelphia area, and there's no place in our area that I know of that offers a degree in metaphysical science. So
Institute of Holistic
Theology.
Theology.
I'm not sure. They offer a lot of different holistic type, degree programs, and it's a great school. I've had, I only had very positive experiences with it. I'm still signed up with them to get my PhD. It's just, finding time to do that hasn't been something that I've been able to do lately. But I'm hoping to do that at some point too. Really, really valuable lessons that I learned from that school, for sure.
Yeah, I just hadn't heard that it was available anywhere, and now I'm going to have to go looking for it, and I have a feeling some of our listeners may also want to go looking for them. So you consider yourself a light worker, and you
I counsel
people. That's something a lot of people want.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just need guidance. A lot of people that are becoming very, very spiritually aware, but and they know that they're fascinated with either metaphysics or spirituality or some specific topic, under one of those umbrellas, but they don't exactly know where to go specifically. And it seems that what I'm able to do is just kind of help guide them and having intuitive abilities. With that, having a gift to be able to kind of see things and hear things that they can't hear or see themselves, or at least they don't know they can hear and see themselves, actually aids a lot in what I'm able to do for people. So, so there's a lot to it. It's not like a regular counseling session because I'm getting an angel, talking to me in my ear, or a spirit guide, or sometimes, a deceased loved one that's coming through and has messages too. So there's a lot more to it than your normal psychology session or something, but I think it's a lot of fun. It's really fascinating. It's really interesting. And it looks at things from a lot of different levels.
The way I look at it, the chances are that we can all learn to enhance our abilities, but with artistic talents and things, some people are born with it, and you seem to have been born with it.
I think sometimes it does seem to. I think we all have it. I think it's all there. It's there for all of us. I think some people it's just it's more easily accessible naturally. I have a family history of it being a pretty powerful thing in my family. Generations, not everybody or anything like that. It's my great-great-grandmother was the last one that I knew of that had as very strong gifts. I have some closer relatives that have gifts as well, just maybe not as strong. So it's there, but it's there with everyone. It's just a matter of how easily. For me, I was born remembering things. Like I was born knowing things with this just knowing, born that way. And I even mentioned in the book about situations with my grandparents who were very hardcore Methodists, so to speak. And they would, I would be like 5-6 years old sitting on their lap and they'd be reading me the Bible. And I'm like, that's not true. That's not what God said. That's not what Jesus said. That story's not true. Or sitting there and arguing with them, and they'd be like calling my mom, being like, "There's something wrong with your daughter," And I'm just like, God's not mean like that. I thought the Bible portrayed God as being mean, being vengeful.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I remembered him as being completely different than that. I remembered this all loving. And not a person, but this all-loving feeling, this all-loving, it's hard to describe what it is because you wouldn't say it's a person. It's a, it's an overall essence, kind of. It's hard to explain, but I that's what I remembered, and then some of the stories were just like horrible, you know. And I'm like, and I just spoke my mind. I learned to shut up after a while because I was getting myself in trouble with my grandparents, but. You know, it's just what I always knew, and I was not afraid to say it until I got shot down a few times.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, it's a really good idea to argue with your grandparents.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a good, you know, you sit there and you're like, I didn't know any better, you know. I mean, as I, you know, like by the time I was like 7, I think I figured it out. I was just, okay, yes, they're right. The Bible is verbatim correct, you know. I'm not going to argue at all because I knew that they were going to call my mom. And my mom was like, leave her alone. She believes what she believes. Let her go, you know, let her be her own person. But, you know, it was just that I didn't want to create the problem for my mom, you know. So,
indeed.
It's just like one of those things. It was easier to just shut up.
Yeah, on the other hand, that. You can see the logic of why you want it to be the Bible to be absolutely correct, because if you admit that one part's a mistake, then you have to wonder about the rest of it. So,
I think that's true. I absolutely think that's true. Yeah.
So you can picking and choosing is a little bit more than we want to try and most people want to try and do.
Right. And for me, it's hard to describe. There were pieces of it that I was like, that just resonated very well with me, that I understood, that made sense. And then there were other pieces that I felt were almost exaggerated or blown up, you know, blown out of proportion, that kind of thing. And I guess I just sort of shied away from that a little bit. So for me, I never wanted to go down the religion route as much as I wanted to go down the spiritual route. And my belief of being able to say, you know what, there's nothing wrong, right or wrong necessarily with any religion. We don't know until we know. And when we know, it's a little late. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't pushing it down somebody else's throat, what you believe isn't the way to go, you know.
Yeah, it's just a little bit harder to say, oh, gee, I wonder what happens after you die when you remember being dead.
Well, yeah, you remember being on the other side. And that's what, for me, it's like, you know, people come to me all the time with this huge fear of death. And I'm like, you know, and I mean, I'm 46 years old and, you know, I have 3 teenagers and a wonderful husband and a wonderful life. But I have absolutely no fear of death. Zero. My only fear would be to die before my family was going to be. I wouldn't want them to suffer. You know, I wouldn't want them to be sad, and you know, I wouldn't want to leave them to miss out on having their mom and having their wife. And you know, even my, you know, even with my dad, I don't want my dad to lose his daughter before he dies. You know, things like that. So I think about that on their perspective. But from my perspective, I'm like, all right, whenever, I'm ready, you know, and I have no fear of it at all, none.
Yeah, I loved, you had a quote in the book, that I don't fear public speaking and I don't fear death. These are said to be the two top fears of human beings. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, neither one of them bother me, and everybody's like, well, you're a freak. I'm like, oh, maybe, yeah. Maybe,
and,
but, you know.
And when you become... And when you get come to terms with being a freak, but you really it is sometimes to you know, it's hard to once you've admitted you're a freak, it's kind of like that people can dismiss you and they can say,
yeah.
Well, if you believe in that, then I don't have to listen to anything you say because obviously you're crazy. Excuse me.
I see that. I see that with people all the time, and that's like one of the things that when we were talking about before we had our technical difficulties. You know, we were talking about the, you know, like you know, I don't tell like when I came out, so to speak, about what I was able to do. I was in the corporate world. I was in marketing. I was in sales. I had a professional job and did this come in useful? Absolutely. You know, did my gifts come, you know, it was very handy to have, you know, an ability to just know certain things, to be able to sense things from people, to be able to feel other people's energy, things of that sort. So it helped me, but I wasn't willing to like make a living from it. I wasn't willing to make it my life until I really started to just get to the point where I was like, you know what, this is what I love. This is what I'm passionate about. This is where my love of life comes in, and I'm able to help people. And my being able to help people, I mean, you know, even I may never make $1 billion or $1 million or, you know, $10, who knows? But the bottom line is that you know, if I can help people, and people find this very hard to believe because they don't think that it can be true. People think that, oh, well, if you're in business, if you're doing what I do, if you're doing what you do, if you do people, you know, what we do in this as light workers, as even as authors, that we're in it to make a lot of money. You know, the money would be great, but if you think you're going to write a book and make a lot of money, I mean, I guess if you write 50 Shades of Grey, it's the exception, but I don't see how you make a lot of money from, you know, writing a book about believing in angels. Yeah. To me, I'm trying to make a living, absolutely, but it's not about getting rich. It truly is for me about helping as many people as I can, and being able to comfort, and, you know, give people the comfort of knowing there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to be afraid of. You can control the stuff, the energy that comes into your life. You don't have to let people get to you. You don't have to subject yourself to situations you don't have to feel anyway. Nobody can make you feel anything that you don't give them permission to make you feel. You know, all these different little things that to me are just common sense, obvious, that people, you know, you just when you're just caught up in the everyday life, you don't understand that's the small stuff, and the small stuff is just small stuff. It doesn't matter. It's unimportant. It's stuff we have to deal with, but we can deal with it and make it better instead of dealing with it in a way that makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
You know, so negative, you know, that sort of thing. The people just over, you know, making things worse than they have to be.
Yeah. And this got to be an advantage in having a guide or an angel that you can actually hear available to help you decide what to do.
Hey, but see, you know, the thing is, we all have that. Every one of us, and you know, and we don't recognize it. Just because you don't hear a voice, just because you don't see a person or a figure, just because you don't hear words, doesn't mean that they're not communicating with you, because they are. Every single day they're communicating with you, and they do that through your intuition, that gut feeling that you get when you're about to do something that you're like, ooh, I better not do this, or that, you know, or that gut feeling that something is really right, even though logically it doesn't make sense. But in your gut, you know, your gut, that's where they're talking to you from. That's where that intuition is, what is the angels, is your spirit guide. Those are those beings communicating with you in that way, and it's all through your intuition. And you don't have to hear voices. In fact, sometimes I think if you hear voices, it can be a little scary.
It's weird. The very few times I have heard voices, I've usually ended up looking around, looking to find out where it came from.
Yeah, well, you do, and then you start thinking, oh, my gosh, somebody better give me some medication or something. I'm losing it, you know. I mean, you start thinking you're going crazy, you know. So it's not that strong. It's not that obvious for everybody. It's there. It's subtle. It's there. It's people ask for signs, and then they expect lightning to crack in the sky or something, and I don't know. It's start raining angel feathers or something. That's not the way it works. There are subtle things. We just have to open ourselves up enough to to see them, to feel them, to sense them. And it truly is what I think it is a sixth sense. I think that intuition is your sixth sense, and that intuition, that gut feeling, is how these other dimensions are communicating with us, these other beings.
Yeah, there are. Now, do you have a specific differentiation you make between angels and guides, or is that, are those just convenient words?
No, I actually do. There are different types of angels. Even we have archangels. For me, how I can tell the difference. Let's make it simple so I don't stutter anymore. Is by the their vibration. So it's like the feeling from their energy when I feel them. Archangels are very, very high energy. They're the highest, you know, besides, you know, like God would, you know, come through himself or something. It's the highest I've ever felt is an archangel, like Archangel Michael or Raphael or, you know, any of the archangels that most of us know and work with, you know, Gabriel, things like that. They have a very high vibration, and these are basically the bosses of the other, you know, of the angels. There are also the angels, you know, just the angels that go around as God's messengers, and then there are guardian angels, and our guardian angels are the ones that are basically just, they're there to make sure that nothing happens to us before it's our time. They're the ones that when we're driving down the road and all of a sudden we slide on ice and then we kind of black out and all of a sudden we're parked at the side of the road and we're like, how the heck did I get over to the side of the road? They're the ones that just, you know, they're the ones that took over and got us safely through that incident. Spirit guides, now angels have never been alive. They have never lived on Earth at all. They were created as messengers for God. Spirit guides, for the most part, did live many lives on Earth for the most part, and then chose to guide others on Earth as, that was what they chose to do when they had gotten to the highest level that they needed to get to. I guess the goal would be to be as close to God as you can be. In the spirit world. So I think once you've achieved that, you feel like you are at that level or close to that level, then you can choose to, you know, decide to be a spirit guide. So those are guides. I can tell the difference. It's a vibrational energy difference. It's a different level of energy. When deceased loved ones, clients come through, that feels different than it does when an angel comes in. Or an archangel feels different than when a regular angel comes in or a guardian angel comes in. So I am able to tell the difference in the feeling. I will get archangels a huge, like, dizzy. I get a little dizzy. I get a ringing in my ear, you know, like a lot of different physical symptoms. Deceased people, usually if it's a deceased, like, I have a client in here and they're, you know, dead father comes through or something. Usually I feel just a little higher energy than what we're vibrating at. It doesn't feel a whole lot different. I can just, all of a sudden I just get thoughts. I usually get the thoughts before I even realize that they're in the room. I'll ask a question like, did your dad pass, you know? And then I know that I've got a deceased person in the room with me. So there is a difference. There's definitely a difference in the vibration of them. And I think that's how, but you don't have to get into all that. It doesn't, you know, it really doesn't matter who is talking to you. It doesn't really matter whether it's an angel or a spirit guide. I mean, people they would love to know, like, what's my spirit guide's name? I get that all the time. What's my angel? What's my guardian angel's name? That doesn't matter that much, and
it
doesn't.
George, you know, it doesn't. Yeah, I get the, you know, you just, but it is convenient to have a handle. I have friends who do costuming, and they name their costumes because it makes it easier to talk to. So
it personalizes it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's right. I think that that's why people like it. You know, they like to be able to like say, okay, well, you know, well, Gabrielle, you know, this is how I'm feeling today, and you know, so it makes it more personal, like it's a friend, you know, and so they do like, and I do too. I mean, I like knowing that. I don't know mine for sure. I've gotten several names, and I believe I know my guardian angel's name, but I'm not sure about my spirit guide. But you know, I get a couple different names sometimes. So, but you can figure all that out. The bottom line is that, you know, it's one of those beings that are communicating with you, and they're communicating with you from God's perspective. They're communicating with you with a message from, you know, from God, from the universe. So defining, I mean, if you want to get into specifics, if you want to learn how to differentiate between a spirit guide and an angel and all that, those are things you can definitely fine tune and learn. There's no reason that anybody cannot learn how to you know, sense these things. But at the same time, you know, just recognizing that they're communicating with you through your intuition, that's the main thing.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? This is the middle of the show, so this is where we have a quick station identification, and I can go grab a glass of water, and you can, and we'll be back in a minute.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.LiveParanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now. Join in on the fun.
All right, and we're back. This is Chip Pecan and the New Normal, LiveParanormal.com. And Lisa Tarves is speaking to us. So we have just talked about guides. That actually is a really good differentiation between angels and guides. I know that they're angels. I just picture, they must have been very busy during 9/11. When you think the
oh, God, yeah.
You think about the first estimates. It's like, oh my gosh, the number of people that are in there every day, it's going to be 10,000 dead, and there were only
Yeah.
I'm just picturing angels standing there holding up the building while people ran out. So we know they're there. So you had to learn not to tell other people about them. Did you have anyone? I haven't finished your book that you could be totally open with.
My parents
got married.
My parents, when growing up, my parents were very, very supportive of my being able to do what I could do. My dad, especially. My mom, you know, was busy being a mom, and you know how that it kind of takes over when you're trying to run a family. But my dad, it was his side of the family that the gifts had come from, for the most part, and he had his own gifts. He has his own gifts, and I think you know, I could tell him anything. He's the first person at the top, you know, in my book that I dedicate my book to. Because he still is today the only person in the world that I can say anything to of a spiritual, metaphysical nature, and he will not look at me like I have three heads. I can have a conversation with him about absolutely anything, when it comes to, you know, what I believe in. And even if it's not something he's ever thought about before or something that he's experienced himself, he will respect it and honor what I'm saying. And so definitely my dad growing up and even now. My husband is a airline pilot for Delta Airlines, and he is a very science-oriented person. You know, obviously, he works with facts. And he has, he was always, when I met him, he was very, you know, very open spiritually. And he's actually been, you know, working on his own stuff, like working on his own gifts, mm-hmm. and been able to expand his own beliefs to a point where he's become deeper and, you know, a deeper thinker and more, you know, able to let go a little bit and believe that there's more than just what you can touch, you know, see, feel, and touch, that kind of thing. And, you know, so he, you know, he is, my husband's my best friend, and he's somebody I can share everything with. And he, even though this was not something that he naturally grew up believing in, you know, or understanding, it's something that he completely respects and honors about me, and something that I feel like I can give back. I mean, he flies airplanes, you know, I'm never going to learn how to fly a jet. But, you know, I feel like I can there's something I can teach him, you know, something that he can learn about me and about what I believe and about, you know, a world beyond this one.
Yeah, I agree with that we all have, we can't all be doing the same thing. That would be kind of, yeah, yes, we can all be trying to make the world a better place, but just as some people sew and some cook and make clothing.
Absolutely.
I mean, right. Some make food, grow food. We can, and you need a lot more people
yeah.
growing food and making clothing, or our closets would all need to be cleaned out.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. So we can all be
trying
to make the world a better place. But what would you say to anyone in the audience who has some of these abilities and is wondering how to talk about them in a way that will not get them sent to involuntarily committed?
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants to be sent to the funny farm. I think that you choose who you tell what to carefully. Unfortunately, you know, there are more open-minded people. There are open-minded people and there are closed-minded people. If it's somebody who is very, very involved in their church, their religion, very passionate about every, you know, every word in the Bible, they may not be as receptive to, you know, you're talking about having gifts, you're talking about knowing things, you know, in the Bible it's pretty much considered evil, you know, to be able to do a lot of the things that I do every day that I know for sure are not evil. There's nothing evil about anything I do ever, and you know, and so that's not even an issue for me, but it is for other people. So I think that you choose who you talk to about it, and I think that you find a network of people that you can grow with, that you can experience, that you can talk to, that you can share your beliefs and your not only your beliefs, but you know, you can share your experiences with, because you know, one of the things that is most amazing about, you know, doing what I do and doing, you know, what people like me do, is that when you're able to hear that somebody else can do it too, it's like there's this, that's when you start feeling, you're like, wow, so I'm really not crazy. Somebody else can do this too. Somebody else, and there's a lot of us that can. I mean, if there's a million of us that are admitting it, imagine how many there are that aren't. You know, so there's, you know, because it's still not something that people are completely comfortable in sharing. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of benefit to, you know, to being able to open up and really share with other people, but they need to be the right people. So that's what I try to do.
How do you find them?
Yeah, well, what I did, really, you know, social media is a great way to do it. You can go on, you know, Facebook or, you know, whatever sites you use and join some groups. When I started, it was way before Facebook, so there were like Yahoo groups and things like that. And I'd go and I'd find people that were interested in crystal healing, you know, or people that were interested, and that, and then I would become, you know, I would strike up conversations with them in chat rooms and things like that. And it was always, you know, very, very innocently done. And then as time went on, it's, well, wow, this person over, you know, across the street from me believes in similar stuff. Similar things that I do, and then they know people, and all of a sudden you have a network of people in your area, you know, that you can share this stuff with. I like to put groups together. I have classes like every couple Saturdays. I have a class of some sort, and I'll, you know, sometimes it's an angel class, sometimes it's a Reiki certification class, sometimes it's a meditation class where we just do a guided meditation together. But that brings people together, and they can come in and they can sit down together and they have some time to talk and ask questions and they get to share their things, you know, their experiences and all these years of doing this and all the, you know, the education and everything that I have in my field, I'm still amazed by some of the beautiful gifts that people have, by some of the beautiful experiences that people have that are still mind-blowing even to me. I mean, I can still have everything I've heard, everything I've seen, and I can still have my mind blown when it comes to, you know, when it comes to what God can do and what the angels can do and the miracles that, you know, come along with our lives.
Yeah. I was thinking, you were talking about the wonderful experiences, and there are wonderful ones. But I'm going to be a little crass here to make the show more interesting. I was wondering if you would talk about when you the time you didn't trust your gut and you got kicked in the head.
Oh, yeah. You did read my book.
Well, it seems appropriate.
Yeah. Okay. A really great example would be, I was married before. I was, you know, married the first time. I remember walking down the aisle thinking, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah. Not a good
Instinctively I was, but then I put it all off and I was like, you know what? It's just normal cold feet, you know, whatever. Well, I had two beautiful children, and I love them to death. And they are 18 and 19 years old, and they're, you know, with my husband and my first husband, and the relationship crashed and burned. But I don't regret a thing, you know. So, did I have a feeling that I was making a mistake? Yes. And did I ignore it? Yes. Do I regret it? No. I learned from it. You know,
yeah.
So I learned from it, and I had two children from that relationship. You know, from my relationship with my husband now, I got an incredible third daughter, my second daughter, my stepdaughter, who is the center of my world. You know, so things happen for a reason. It's the not believing in coincidences. I think that they happen for a reason, and that even the things that, you know, maybe there was a reason I was supposed to ignore it, you know, maybe I was supposed to ignore it, that could have been one of those things that it was beyond something that I really was supposed to have control over, because my children were meant to be born, and I was meant to learn from that marriage, from that relationship. Who knows, you know?
I suppose that is the mark of somebody who has great faith. Yeah, I'm perfectly willing to believe that we can make some really egregiously stupid mistakes and then have to get back on course.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I talk to people every day that do that, and God knows I've done it about a billion times with my own life. I think that, you know, I probably put myself back on course every day at least once. You know, I can wake up in the morning and be like, oh, poor me, I've got this, I've got that, you know, and then I'm like, what am I complaining about? You know, I have like the, I have a great life. My life is amazing. I'm so blessed. And so you have to, you know, you're constantly reexamining yourself. And I do believe that all the stupid things that I've ever done, and trust me, that marriage, that was a small stupid thing compared to some of the other stupid things I've done in my life. But that's a whole other book, I think. Some of the other things, my mom would always say to me, is this some of the stupid things I did as a teenager? She'd be like, you know, she'd ask me all the time when I was older, well, aren't you sorry that you did that? Aren't you sorry you put us through that? Aren't you sorry? I'm like, no. And she would get so angry with me. And I'm like, Mom, I learned from that. What I learned from that is part of who made me who I am, and I'm proud of who I am. You know, I love who I am, so I'm not going to apologize for it. I said, I'm sorry if it hurt you. You know, I'm sorry if I hurt you, if I caused you pain or anxiety, but I'm not sorry that I did it. You know, and you're right. It is looking back, and it is having a lot of faith that what I went through was meant to happen. I was meant to go through. It's having a lot of faith, and it's having a lot of, I think, self-respect. There's no point in beating myself up about things I already did because, you know, you can't unring a bell. So, you know, it's already done. So why beat myself up? What I did was I took all the positives, the things that I learned out of all the mistakes I've made, and I turned them around, and I looked at it, and I pulled the good stuff out, the stuff that I learned, and I, you know, okay, that's my focus now. That's how I filed that mistake away. Instead of a mistake, as a lesson.
Okay. I had another question that I really wanted to get to, and we're getting close to the end, so I'm going to have to be quick. You do Reiki, but you started as a child just with touching people to heal them. What would you say, because I think anybody can heal, and Reiki is just a lovely way of speeding it up. Would you talk about that difference for a minute? What's Reiki and what you were doing naturally?
I think that for whatever reason, you know, just like for whatever reason that I was psychically more aware growing up, that for some reason that I was more in tune to our natural ability to heal. You know, when it comes to crystals and herbs and all the different things that were put on the planet long before there was actual medications, you know, real medications and real doctors and X-ray machines and all the different things we have, you know, God put into the earth ways for us to heal ourselves through those crystals, through those herbs, through, you know, whatever, and through each other, through our energy. So our energy has the ability, our bodies are made up of energy, so you can certainly manipulate that energy in order to heal someone else. Our energy is what creates the illness in the first place. So why not manipulate that energy to make it work, to make yourself better? We do it to make ourselves worse all the time. You know, we do it to make ourselves sick all the time. So why not use it to make ourselves well? So, you know, that said, and when it comes to Reiki, I think Reiki for me was just a way of maybe making people understand it. You know, because it is a way to focus it. It is a way to explain it. It is a way to that people get, you know, focusing your energy, your intention. You know, it's a lot about your intention, and it just makes it make a little bit more sense. But it also, I think, it lights something up inside you. You know, I think when you get attuned as a Reiki practitioner, something that's laying dormant in your body, you know, that ability to heal, that's lying in there and just waiting, you know, for it to be poked at, you know, I think basically the Reiki attunement does that, exactly that. It wakes you up. It pokes that dormant ability, and then all of a sudden you are able to do things that you weren't able to do before because you've had the you know, you've had the pilot light lit, you know, and now all of a sudden you, you know, you can feel energy, you can sense energy, and then you can learn to direct it and do good with it.
Okay, and we are coming up to the end. I'm going to put your website up again, www.lisatarves.com on again. And I'm going to take, do we have any last thoughts? Because we're supposed to get off and it's off.
We're supposed to give a last thought. I think that, you know, I think that something that I didn't touch on that, you know, that I want to, that I always try to end with is on a more positive note is about, you know, all the things that we go through in our lives and all the things that we get thrown at us and, you know, just getting through day to day. It's really, it all comes down to being able to forgive, being able to let go of some of the pain that we hold on to. You know, people, we're all looking for the same thing in the end. We're all looking for peace. We're all looking for happiness. We're all looking for, you know, some type of spiritual enlightenment. And I think that, you know, it really comes down to being able to let go of some of the people that may not be at the same level you're at spiritually. And, you know, and the people that do, I mean, I don't think we set out most of us to hurt anyone, but I do think that it's something that we do. And, sometimes hopefully most of the time accidentally and not very often, but, you know, forgiveness is, a big part of what I teach and, you know, learning how to understand that forgiving someone doesn't mean that they are, you're saying, you know, that what they did was okay, you know, that they hurt you and it's okay, that it doesn't bother you. It just means that you're not going to let it ruin your life. You're not going to let it affect you anymore. And I think that's an important thing to acknowledge and an important way for people to begin the process of spiritually awakening is to start with forgiving and forgiving others and forgiving yourself for your own mistakes.
Okay, but we have to get off. Remember the chaos at the beginning. The next show host is going to have the same thing if we don't let him have a studio.
Oh, yeah. We don't
have to. So thank you very much for being on, and it was wonderful talking to you.
Thank
I loved your book, and we'll see.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.